It's our Tua. It's our Tua. It's our Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's our Tua. It's our Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Seems can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Our Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Tour the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Let's get to our headlines, you rascals, which are brought to you by Doral Hyundai, the number one Hyundai store in the nation. Just went full beast mode. Doral Hyundai, where the deals are monstrous and the prices don't survive. No one sells for less. No one. Marlins, they're back at it today. 4:40 is your first pitch with Jansen Junk on the hill. Marlins lost last night 7-3, so they've dropped the first two against the Stros. The one good
first series loss in a month.
Yeah, they've come out swinging, the Astros. You know, they also come out and they came in this one. They've handled losing the opposite of the Yankees, who are I mean they're in a tough way right now. The Yankees, they got Judge back yesterday, but that pressure is on Aaron Boone right now in the Bronx, Leroy. People are pissed at him. You want to talk about coaches who may be having to pay for the crimes of their team? Maybe Aaron Boone, but Jacob Marcy went deep yesterday. First MLB home run. This guy's literally come up and done nothing but get on base and get extra base hits. Very impressive, very impressive from Jacob Marcy. Even with the loss of Jesus Sanchez, who is now on the Astros, they have. They cannot say that they have missed him very much yet because Marcy has gotten off to a rousing start. Now, when people will get that adjustment to him, because there'll inevitably be a week of they'll get analytics on him and they'll be like, he can't hit second pitch curveballs, and then they'll just throw him nothing but that. But for right now, kid's killing it, and he has a hawk eye for a rookie. I mean, a great, great, great plate discipline.
Is that one of the hardest things to pick up when you get to the major leagues is just having a good eye? Because, I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, very impressive. Very impressive.
Like, it's to the point where if he don't swing at it or he doesn't identify it as a strike, you don't think it is.
Right.
Like, there's certain hitters where that wasn't a strike.
The Dolphins, they've wrapped up practice today. Tua, he's speaking to the media right now. We'll get a little bit of that for you later on in the program. The big news today, Tyreek Hill did not practice because of an undisclosed injury. Omar Kelly said yesterday that he noticed that Tyreek Hill pulled himself out of practice, so that this may be a carryover from yesterday. So, you know, we'll see. We will see. That it was that's a little bit nerve-wracking with the cheetah. The Dolphins will head on to Chicago. Their first preseason game is going to be Sunday at 1 p.m. Regular old start time.
On the NFL Network.
Which is now owned by ESPN. Now, does that mean that I'm gonna, like, so what are we doing here? Do I just got to get like a super ESPN package now? Is that what everything's going to be?
I mean, that's pretty much what's going to happen. And they got the WWE now. They're going to be streaming WWE's premium live event.
I wonder if they're going to keep UFC. I don't know if that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, they have to. TKO, they're all under the TKO brand. Yeah, everybody's in bed. Everybody's in bed with each other.
Everybody's in bed. Them owning ESPN, though, the NFL getting a big piece of ESPN is very interesting.
Now I'm starting to put pieces together now for this puzzle. I think a lot of the stuff, if you saw a lot of talent in ESPN being let go, I think it was because that's a big merger that you're putting together with the NFL and ESPN. And for ESPN now to give up 10% of their stake to the NFL?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got you. They got you.
Something, man. By the way,
isn't it weird, though? Does the NFL own the NFL Network, right?
They did, yes.
Right, which was...
So now it's like, who owns... So the NFL still owns a piece of the NFL Network, which they sold to ESPN?
Here's what I didn't understand, right? Because a friend of mine, we had this conversation. We were talking about... It was yesterday. We were talking about how the NFL Network, like their Good Morning Football, it's just terrible now. Like, I feel bad.
Without Schrager,
without McCourty. Like, they...
Who else was on that? Was Kay Adams on that show?
No. Kay Adams was, but they replaced the... I like the... I don't have any problem with Jamie Erdahl. I don't have a problem with her being in...
Now they got Manti Te'o.
But Manti Te'o sucks. I'm sorry.
I only see him on mute, so I have no idea if
you
he's
don't,
good.
That's the best thing to do.
Yeah, because we only see him in the studio.
That's the best thing. He does not say anything with conviction. He doesn't say anything like that's, oh, my God. It's just regular Manti Te'o, and I don't even know Will Blackman is just bad. So we didn't understand. It was like, well, if the NFL has all this money and they own the NFL Network, why aren't they putting the money and revenue into trying to set up their own network? Into having the proper
it seems like
host and analyst.
It seems like they've done the ultimate shell game, which is sell it, but also get a piece of what they sold.
That's crazy. I'm thinking that
it's a monster. You would think they could make Hard Knocks better.
You know what?
What's wrong with you?
Hard Knocks is HBO, so it's not the NFL. So, but I'm going to be interested to see the Red Zone. The Red Zone's very interesting now. You want to see how they're going to do it,
Vlad? You know, you say something important there. HBO is, I think of HBO Sports. I think of like the pinnacle of production of sports, 24/7, taking us into fight camp with Floyd Mayweather. That was a brainchild of Floyd Mayweather. But
that was
HBO's
brainchild?
Yeah, but HBO, they put the touch on it. They did it right. And it just feels now like they give you nothing.
Don't do that much sports anymore. Would think they should have focused more since this is their one sporting like yearly.
I don't think they're allowed to, though. That's what I'm saying. I think that these guys are like, nope, too much personality. Put it on the cutting floor. That's what I think happens.
You're saying the producers are cutting the entertainment stuff.
Yep.
And just went
100%.
Old boring.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
And who ruined it?
Old or the young?
No. What happened to the Giants?
Oh, the Giants ruined it. No, the Giants ruined it. I'm telling you, that was the best Hard Knocks I've seen in a while. The offseason Hard Knocks was awesome. But dude should have gotten himself fired and blew it. By the way, I was mentioning on the Zach Sealer intro press conference how Zach Sealer's baby looks like he'd already get 5 sacks. Mrs. Sealer weighed in on Twitter on that, and she says 30 pounds at 16 months.
Jeez.
Call him Bam Bam. That kid's already broken a coffee table, for sure.
Or hit something and the parents panicked and he just started laughing.
That kid is that baby is so strong. Like I'm telling you right now, like that kid is probably already like squatting and just like and just. I mean, I can't even imagine that nursery school has no chance. I'm sure that kid's gonna end up being a sweetheart like Zach Sealer, because if he wanted to be a bully, your babies have no chance against him. If he wanted to be, you know. Thankfully,
Zach Sealer's got a great wife, man.
Hmm?
That's an understanding woman.
To live in an RV?
What?
Chase your dream of football?
After you got the bag, you still want an RV?
She's like, couldn't we go to Cabo?
No.
Cabo.
Yeah, but what if she thinks just like him? Like,
maybe she does.
Yeah, we can take our RV and go fishing.
She may be. She may be, you know, maybe
hunting.
Tropical's not for her.
We're going to go to God's greatest city, Biloxi.
We're going to go. We're going to build a farm in Missouri. I'm just like, God bless you guys. Like, that is incredible.
Nah, I respect. You got to respect. And they want to raise the kids like that.
Hey,
I love it.
You might not. He might be out there pulling the Ozark. Better be careful.
Listen, let me tell you something right now. If Zach Sealer is running a meth lab, I would never want to owe money to him. I would never want to owe money to him.
That's a big ass Walter White.
Dave South. Hey, Dave South makes a valid point. Was she booking Airbnb in a trailer park?
No, that was a Mrs. Tobin special.
Wait, Mrs. Tobin. What?
So we stayed in, we went to the Springs, but for like, we've done the Springs. We've done a bunch of Springs. We've done some nice stays at the Springs. But the first time we did it, Vlad, it was my wife was introduced into Airbnb. And she's like, I got us a cabin. And she called it a cabin. I was like, oh, okay. A nice little, that's quaint. We're all going to stay, the whole Tobin family, myself, Mrs. Tobin, Tommy, Sophia. We even brought Sunny Bunny up on the trip.
Oh.
And we arrive, and it was like, wow, 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 wow. Like, I hear the banjo in the background as we're pulling up.
Deliverance?
Like, it was like the middle of nowhere. And we roll up.
Could you imagine Tobin pulling up and going, what did you do?
We walk in, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure I saw blood on the walls of the trailer peeling off. And I just go to her, and I'm like, do tell, how much was this palace that you booked us here? You know, because I'm not like bougie, but I don't like staying in a dump. And I was like, she's like, 300. I'm like, a night? She goes, for the week. For the week? That wasn't a red flag to you?
Wow. Now, if you did that, you would be destroyed and ripped. If a man went on the cheap, on the humble,
right,
on the discount, you would be ripped. Like, you don't care, you don't appreciate. But she's thinking, I did a costly, efficient buy here.
Vlad,
I saved us some money.
Sometimes the price of something,
it ain't worth it.
Makes you raise an eyebrow and go, this can't be right.
That's what I needed, it.
No, but you got to understand, women don't think like that all the time. They think that they're doing something very, cost efficient. And it's not.
But you get what you pay for.
Yeah, well, you got what you got.
Miami Heat have just tweeted out Norman Powell, his first trip to the Heat locker room. Getting his number 24. I saw in Anthony Chang's article that him and Haywood Highsmith had a little bit of an agreement for the old number switcheroo. Terms were not disclosed by the Powell-Haywood connection. I do notice that he's got Jimmy Butler's locker, though.
I mean, they don't have but a handful of lockers. What do you think he's going to – like, somebody got to get Jimmy locker?
So I think Kyle Anderson had it when after the trade happened, but he doesn't have two lockers like Jimmy does. So he has the Powell locker next to Davion Mitchell.
Who does get the two lockers? Should be Bam.
Bam.
Right?
Bam has two lockers now. Bam gets the double lockers. Used to be Wade and Jimmy. Now it's Bam. Although, that's prime real estate, though, where Jimmy had the D-Wade locker, and that's a prime real estate because you could swing into the equipment. You could swing into the room, if you want to. You know, just be like, see if I could wait this out, which, I mean, Jimmy was an expert at. Oh, man. Anyway, we'll take a break. Jalen Phillips spoke yesterday at practice, and we will hear a little bit of what the Dolphins star passers had to say about the young rookie, Patrick Paul, who's having himself a good camp. We'll get to that. Tua, speaking of camp, got lots to get to here on the show. Back after this. Back, you rascals. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Dolphins getting ready for their first preseason game this Sunday against the Bears. We got the Marlins, the Heat, Panthers. Got all that news going for you. Canes camp is underway. They put the pads on next week as they get ready for Notre Dame. Don't miss a thing. Listen to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. Make Tobin and Leroy your favorite show. Miami Dolphins have wrapped up today's day of practice. Tua Tagovailoa speaking today as they're going to head to Chicago. We got the news yesterday that Shedeur Sanders is going to start the preseason opener for the Browns against the Panthers. No Flacco, no Dylan Gabriel, and no Kenny Pickett. Those two are hurt.
And
Flacco's
just crazy?
Old.
And Snoop is their backup.
They're starting. They're not even starting Shedeur.
Oh, I thought that was announced.
No, Shedeur is starting.
Shedeur is starting, I think.
He is? Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I think Shedeur is starting. I know he's dealt with a sore arm, too. He's had his own things. But, I think he is starting, Leroy.
Sore arm is just camp arm.
Camp arm?
You're throwing, keep in mind, you're throwing drills, you're throwing, on the side, you're throwing after practice. A lot of throwing that you don't normally, you got to get you don't throw that much in the summer.
You feel I feel like a lot of pressure on him on this preseason game, it feels like already, because this is the only preseason game I feel like everyone's going to be like, what? Just because of the whole pre-draft process.
Here's the problem. Don't get caught up and where a guy gets drafted. Right? If he has the abilities to play at this level, then he'll show it. And as simple as that. We tend to take, see, the draft to me is prospecting. Like, you have all these immeasurables, you know, you look at, you know, film or whatever, but here's the part that they overlook. And if you ask a Michigan person about Tom Brady, all he did was win. Every time the team, when he was at Michigan, needed somebody to pull him out of a hole, they went to Tom Brady. And that has to matter when it comes to competition. To some extent, right? There are certain things you could drive it at, oh, he ain't going to be able to do that at the next level. But if he can, right, then we just acknowledge that. So what got him in is maybe because he held the ball too long, or how he did things didn't look like the pocket passer or the guy with the cannon for an arm, or not built like Josh Allen or whatever. But what had you looking at him in the first place was the throws that he made and his ability to win.
But I think the thing that – I get what you're saying, but the thing that's different here is his draft process felt like there was an element of, was he dropping because of talent, or was he dropping because of pre-draft attitude and stuff? So, like, that's the difference in this. It's like, right, yeah, you may not know what the talent is, but it felt like he was maybe dropping for other reasons. It didn't feel like it was right, a talent thing necessarily.
I think sometimes you come up with other reasons to justify – what you did, right? So after the fact kind of stuff. But again, if he can play, right, we'll see it, or they'll see it. I think a lot of times we get caught up on where you were drafted, and that determines what your NFL career would be. And at quarterback, that couldn't be farther from the truth. Just look at some of your more successful quarterbacks. All successful quarterbacks are not drafted in the top five.
Croquetta King says, Skyler showed that he could play in the preseason. We know the rest of that story.
Yeah.
Where the hell is he, by the way? Where is Skyler Thompson?
Isn't he in Kansas City? No, not Kansas City.
Where is he?
Wait, is he in Indy?
Is he in Pittsburgh? I think he's in Pittsburgh.
Or Pittsburgh. I think it's Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I was wondering where he ended up. He's a Steeler. Yeah. All right, I'm sure. Listen, get ready, Steelers fans. You're gonna see Dan Marino here in your first preseason game, especially if he's got like a fifth round receiver to throw to. Ooh, that's when he cooks. He's gonna.
I would just say that, you know, a couple of things with Shador. Regardless of what you think about him mentally, he is prepared.
I would think so. Being under the spotlight,
mentally he's prepared. And for a lot of guys that have the talent, mentally they're not there.
Well, it's interesting because
it's a good start.
Well, where are the expectations, right? Like, because if you're a first round quarterback, if you're Jackson Dart, you know you're supposed to kind of show a little something.
Right.
Well, now is he going to be treated like a fifth rounder, or is he going to be treated like a first rounder? Because I feel like he's going to be treated like a first rounder if he struggles, and It's a weird place because, well, how many fifth round quarterbacks get a ton of lofty expectations put on their first performance?
And that's the other thing. That's kind of the other situation, is that, wait a minute, why are you expecting first round results with a guy that you drafted in the fifth round?
Right. Like, I found this interesting in another sport, but like, I was reading like a lot of the summer league reviews of like rookies, and like everybody kind of got like A's, B's, and then they go to Kasperis Jakachonis. I think it was Bleacher Report, and they're like D. I was like, D? He's the 20th pick. D.
But that's what I'm saying. Don't, you know, when we look at players, don't we have to, for example, how's everybody glowing about Ewers? Like, whoa.
People seem to be into yours.
And part of that is if he was a first rounder, it would be expected. But because he was drafted in the lower rounds.
Yeah, it's gravy.
Now it's a shocker.
Yep.
But, like, yeah, these guys to some level can play. What just got them drafted late was maybe their immeasurables, maybe some things that they think could be an issue at the next level. But until they play, you're not going to know that. I tell you what, think about this. Mentally, as far as being ready to play at the next level, would you take Shador or Richardson?
I think I'd take Shador. Yeah. Like, I mean, Richardson.
Right. And so he was the fourth pick in the draft.
Feels like Richardson's getting beat up by Danny Dimes.
Now, right. So if I switched the two, we would feel a lot different about Shador. And we would be looking at Richardson like Quentin Ewers. You see what I'm saying? Like, that sometimes the draft puts you in a spot that people expect stuff from you or expect you to be a certain way.
Did you make him Quentin Ewers?
Is it Quentin Ewers?
It's just Quinn.
Just Quinn. Quinn. You made him
a yeah.
I forgot.
When did you
make him a brother? I made him black.
He made him
I made
black.
Him black. Jesus. I made him black. I'm sorry.
Quint.
There's no intangibles named Quint. But yeah, the white version of Quentin is Quinn. Right.
Minus one.
Quinn, hey man, come on.
No, Quentin, you were...
You gave that man more drip than he deserved.
Yeah. I just was a little drip.
Take a break. Mix back after this.
Oh, yeah, Quentin Tarantino.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. It is time, Leroy, for...
Just say Quintavious Ewers.
Stone Steve did point out Quentin Tarantino. Schmeetland says Theodore Roosevelt's youngest son is named Quentin, you idiot.
And look how old. For the first time, Schmeetland just showed his age. For somebody to know Theodore Roosevelt's son's name shows how old you are.
What about Quentin Post?
Oh, on the Warriors.
Jesus
Intangible.
Christ. Schmeetland. My God.
Let us get to the mixed bag here. Jalen Phillips. Jalen Phillips spoke to the media yesterday. Dolphins star pass rusher. And he was discussing Patrick Paul, Miami Dolphins' second-year tackle, going to be the starting left tackle this season. He's a giant. And he revealed that old Patrick Paul, he likes to talk a lot of smack on the field. He's a bit of a bleep talker. Here was Jalen Phillips on Patrick Paul.
I mean, he's always been a talker, honestly. But I would say that he backs it up more now and that, you know, he's confident in himself, which I think is a really admirable trait because at the end of the day, there's so many things that can kind of knock your confidence. And one thing that I've noticed with him is I've never seen his confidence shake, no matter what, even if he's losing reps. And all he does every day is get our pass rushers better, get himself better, and bring other guys along. So, love Pat.
All right, there you go. He's backing it up more, Leroy.
That's what playing time will do to you.
Patrick Paul told the media today that one of his favorite athletes growing up, which, man, that makes me feel old, Conor McGregor.
Jeez.
So that means he's
growing up.
That means he likes to get wasted.
That was yesterday.
He likes to get wasted and then get...
That's what he said. He's like, he likes the mental warfare that Conor McGregor brings. I mean, Conor McGregor won the belt. How many years is it now?
Yeah, but, I mean, there's a fine line between... confidence, trash talk, and crazy. Oh,
okay. Yes. But before, right. I think Connor went off the rails.
Right. Before your wife was in me
before
DMs.
Before you started doing
it. Her wife was in me DMs! I mean, if he's watching the Connor McGregor come up, if Patrick Paul is like, what, 22? You know, we're talking 10 years ago. 12, 13. Yeah, he's watching Connor's rise. The Diaz fight was 9 years ago, so.
Wait, how long ago was that... Floyd fight. That seems like that was six, seven years ago.
That was like 2016, dude.
That's 10 years ago, bro.
Yeah. So if Patrick Paul is 22, yeah, we're talking about He was a teenager watching Conor McGregor.
He wasn't really that guy. He was. That was started when he fought Mayweather. That was the towards the end of his.
Of his being at his best?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he was, no, actually, matter of fact, he was already towards the end. It's, they pushed that fight so that he can get that big bag.
He got that big bag, but if you're Patrick Paul and at the time you're a teenager watching this.
That's what I'm saying. He wasn't the guy anymore.
No, but he was still talking. I mean,
he was talking, but he always talks hella trash.
Listen, what he did to Jose Aldo, just messing with him, saying that he's the king of Rio and got Jose Aldo, a guy who was basically a samurai in the octagon, to bull rush him and run right into a left hand. It was masterful. But that's why he says that's one of his favorite athletes. God, I love spam calls. It's great. you guys last week, I was out for this, but this went viral when I was gone, Leroy. If you guys did not hear, Donald Trump, our president, he put together a committee that was for the presidential fitness test making a comeback. And part of this committee is Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, even though that is not how 45-47 said
that.
Hey,
you going to show the clip?
Yeah, I don't have the video, but you got the audio of it, Vlad, of how Donald Trump referred to Tua Tagovailoa in this committee announcement?
Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback who is he's been fantastic. He's been... when he's not injured, he's great. He's got to stay healthy, but he's a great guy.
So, Tua, we now have the Dolphins quarterback's reaction to Donald Trump just completely butchering his name and being a part of this committee. And this is what Tua just told reporters at the start of the hour. Here's Uno.
I think it's pretty cool. It's an honor. I would say I don't know too much about it. But again, I think that's an honor.
What did you make of the way the president pronounced your name?
I mean, that's... I don't think he's had the worst. I've heard a couple worse in Alabama. But it is what it is. I mean, I don't take that to heart. It is what it is. But he's a great guy. Phenomenal guy. Just got to stay healthy. All of that. Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it.
How did that all go?
I mean, I should ask you that question too, bro. How did that all develop? I'm not too sure.
Did anybody get asked to be on this committee? Or
no, it sounds like half of the guys don't even know they're on this list.
LT didn't know.
What the hell's going on here?
They were just, I think they were like, we got a free flight. Free stay for you in Washington, D.C.
Get to meet the president.
You get come to the White House. You get to see the president. Maybe shake his hand and that's it. Because LT was like, I don't know. I'm just here to serve. And people get ripped him for it. And Tua just sounded like a guy that didn't want, you know, listen, man, that's the president. He's not the worst person to say my name. I don't want agents around. That's it. That's what it sounded like. Like, just leave me alone.
Just please.
Leave me alone.
Let's move on.
But
if I was
this is the first I've heard of it.
It would be. It did. No, it did. Right. He's like, great question. It's like, great honor. Great question.
Saquon even though. Trevor from, Trevor said that. Like, Saquon, like, they interviewed Saquon.
No, I know. We talked about that yesterday. Saquon's like, huh?
I just played golf with him. I didn't know.
If you play golf, that means you're on a committee. That's what that means.
Poor Tua.
But sometimes this is what happens with the rich. The rich and powerful will just put you in a committee. That's the same thing Stephen Ross did with Curtis Martin. Just put him in a committee for bullying. You know? What are you supposed to say? No? I can't make the committee. I can't make the committee.
Oh, man.
Crazy. Whew. That's something. Devon Achane. Devon Achane is going into year three. And he's got a new mate there in the running back room who goes by the name of Ollie Gordon II. And Ollie Gordon going to be probably playing in his first preseason game. And this is what Devon Achane's advice was to his rookie running mate. Here's what he had to say.
It's great, man. Like I tell him all the time, you know, it's going to be fun. Because, you know, we all going to be on the sideline, you know, watching, cheering for you. And, I mean, if you do have a bad play, you know, just move on to the next one. Like, we got a lot of football. And so, man, I told him it's going to be exciting. Like I said, you're going to be nervous because I was nervous. I don't know if you get nervous. I get nervous still right now before a play. Like, I feel like I got to get tackled. Then I'm ready to go. So I tell him, man, it's okay to be nervous and just go out there and play football.
So in his third year, Devon Achane is a wily vet.
Yeah, he's unk.
He's the vet of the running back room.
Sometimes being the vet just means you're older than everybody else in the room.
I think he still might be the youngest guy in the room. He's the vet.
Yeah.
Man.
When I came to the league, I had some old guys.
What do the old guys do for you in your first preseason?
Did they make you get things, rookie?
No, I'm talking about the game though. Like, what do you remember your first preseason game?
My first preseason game was the Hall of Fame game, right? And this is the one thing you have to get used to is that the young guys play in the second half. So you spend the whole first half just watching.
Oh, so you didn't it wasn't like it was. So they actually played, the stars actually played in the Hall of Fame game when you played?
Like for a little bit, but they did all of the older running backs in the first half and then the young guys played the second half. That's just how you do it. Right? So I think it was Barry Redden. He got hurt. And I was standing on the sideline, socks down, mouthpiece in my, in my sock, had to dip in. And they go, "You're up." I say, "I'm second half, baby. I'm second half. Not if the guy in front of you gets hurt." So I grab my mouthpiece. I got my helmet. I run into the game because it's in between plays. I get in there, we run a screen pass. My very first NFL carry. Screen pass, I go 40 yards. It was awesome. Except for the fact that I swallowed my dip.
Ugh.
Because I hadn't
spit. Oof. That's tough. That's not tough.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yep.
Did you feel like, yeah, well, you're not a thrower upper. I know that.
No.
But
no.
Did you feel a little queasy?
Yeah.
A little queasy?
Yeah. Oof. A lot queasy.
Man. That's rough.
Then I realized what a hip pointer was when we played the next preseason game. And can I tell you, a hip pointer hurts.
Not fun?
Dude, oh my goodness. And what they do is they give you a shot.
Like in the hip?
Yeah. Mm. Which also felt very uncomfortable because I had never had like one of these anti-inflammatory shots.
Finally, you guys familiar with Mark Spears, NBA reporter, Hall of Famer?
Yep.
He was on the NBA Today, and he revealed that Ice Trey, aka Trey Young, his feelings are a little bit hurt because apparently the Hawks haven't come a knocking with a contract extension this offseason.
There's a new front office in Atlanta that's trying to make decisions, but what I'm hearing now at this point, and you could tell by Trey's tweet, and I saw him during the finals, I think he's disappointed that it hasn't come. It hasn't been offered. So don't be surprised at this point that he plays this out and sees what happened next summer.
Very interesting.
Can I just say this?
You know,
this is not a knock on Trey Young.
Lever hates this him because he's short.
This has to do with my feelings about having a guy that small playing on this team.
Trail 5.
I understand that. But I do also understand that. So who you getting rid of? Tyler?
I don't think you can have those two on the same team.
Right.
Now
let me ask you.
You might as well just have a parade.
If you had a choice right now. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you take Tyler or Trey?
Because
I'd take Tyler.
I'll take Trey.
You take Trey? The way they swallowed him up when he played the Heat?
He gets swallowed up. But you know what he does? He shoots back.
He does shoot back.
Okay, that's fine.
He's good at getting as big as the basketball.
Okay, so think about what you got to go through in the East.
Who do you feel, Schmeathen asked the right question, who do you feel more comfortable paying 50 a year to?
Tyler.
Interesting.
I'll take the guy that I know down the stretch, nobody wants the ball in his hands. Nobody's afraid of Tyler like that. Like,
all right.
He did take a team to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, it was the wonkiest. It was the wonkiest of years.
It doesn't matter.
But he did do it. He did do it.
All right. So y'all.
I'm just saying.
I take Tyler.
But I do agree with you. I don't think you could have them on the same team.
Right.
Here's the thing though. If you got a Bam and a Khalil Ware, you're not worried about Trey like that. He's got too big to cover.
And Wiggins.
And I know I hate to say this because they are bad defensively, but when you lead when you're top three in steals, I mean, at least you get your hands on the ball at times and
right.
You can make a play.
I think the thing that's going to be – but the thing I would say, though, like would the Hawks really want to trade Trae Young for Tyler Hero, right? Because it's like if you're –
I think both organizations are happy with who they have.
That's what I'm saying. Like if you're gonna trade Trae Young – because they have a very good team. Like the Hawks are going to be decent this year. But if you're going to trade – like Trae Young
– it's a lateral move.
I got to imagine there's fans that are just beloved having their guy, Ice Trae, right? Like, I feel like if this was last year, okay. But you got – they also have Lad. I mean, they got, like, you know, they got Dyson Daniels, Jalen Johnson.
They got a great team. They got
a nice team. They really do.
Johnson. They got Kate Porzingis, see if he can play.
You know Porzingis. I mean, he's going to come up with some kind of disease in the middle of the year. He won't play.
You know what? Man. To be honest with you, I think a lot of guys who don't sign their extension right away, I think they just do it sometimes to – like, it's an extension. It's not like football where you redo your contract right now. So it's an extension. So whether you sign it on first day or the second month or, you know, at the last minute you can sign the extension, all you're doing is getting a little bit of attention. They go, Trae Young's not signing the extension.
No, right? But he's saying that he's hurt, his feelings are hurt or disappointed.
That's some small feelings.
That's messed up, man.
His little heart is broken.
His little heart. Wait, Black.
Point for Leroy.
Hey, I just opened the little door. Say, knock, knock, who's there? Little Trey jokes. Come on in.
I think, look, to put Tyler's point, like, I think – if you have Trae Young and you swap Tyler Hero, are the Heat much different this year? I guess that's the question. I don't know if they are. I think they probably. I think that their ceilings can be pretty similar. Like, is anybody going to pick the Heat if they get Trae Young?
Because I would say this.
You think so?
The difference between Trae and Tyler is I would say Trae is more of an assist guy.
Trae's a better player than Tyler. I don't think, you know, forget the height.
How much better?
He's okay. A guy that can give me 25 and get me 22 or 30 points assists. When you got a guy that's giving you 25 and he's leading the league in assists, that means he's getting others involved. Tyler doesn't do that.
He's gotten much better at that.
So guess what? Your Khalil Ware love affair will be crazy with Trae Young. Because when you see those alley-oops,
those lives will be crazy.
I can't even argue that.
But this is a fairly newer thing with Trae, though, because there's been plenty of teammates who did not like playing with him, and they thought he was a ball hog. You know, there's plenty of guys like Russell Westbrook who put up assists, and they're it's kind of fugazi, though. Yeah, James Harden's another great example.
I get that, but guess what, though?
But his connection with Biggs, there's no doubt. Like, that's the thing. He had that with Clint Capella. I'm sure he's going to have that this year with Porzingis. But, man.
And keep in mind, and let's be clear, Tyler was asked to do some of the Trae stuff after Jimmy left. But before that, he was mostly off the ball.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. When Jimmy got hurt and he played Boston in that 2024 playoff series,
mm-hmm.
Tyler was showing that. There was a lot of double-doubles. He was getting double-doubles.
No, he had some great – the one game they won, he had one of his best decision-making. Now, to be fair, the Heat did a record amount of threes. Like, it was also a crazy game as far as who he was getting the ball to.
But that was the time it was like, okay, he's showing signs that his game is rounding up, is being a little bit more complete. It's not always about him having the score. He can actually find others. But it's not the way Trae Young does.
We'll take a break. Get you caught up with more things along the way. Got Rats Off a Ship coming up next hour. We're back after this.